Morning.
Good morning. Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much. Congress, or rather self-evident public policy reasons, fashioned an expansive statute of limitations governing actions brought by U.S. national victims of state-sponsored terrorist attacks. This morning, we are examining a question of statutory construction, actually a two-pronged question of statutory construction, to determine whether that statute of limitations allows this plaintiff to commence an action before the United States District Court for the District of Columbia. The first prong of that two-pronged action addresses a rather straightforward question, and that is whether an individual who was not a plaintiff in a prior existing action brought under 28 U.S.C. 1605A7 may avail himself of the extended statute of limitations remedy found in Section 1083C3. The district court below found that that was not the case. The answer to that question was no. Subsequent to that decision, Chief Judge Lamberth below and Judge Bates below addressed the same question in different cases with different results. Subsequent to those two decisions, this court in Roeder examined that decision and concluded that an individual plaintiff could bring an action.
Do you read your opponent's brief as even challenging this question?
That was my next sentence. That I think this is so well, that the first prong of this two-prong question is so well settled that the Syrian Arab Republic did not even challenge that question in their brief, and that is essentially conceded at this point.
Is it something we nevertheless have to address? Is it jurisdictional?
Yeah, I suppose, well, statute of limitations is an affirmative defense. Yeah. And if it's conceded by Syria and it's an affirmative defense rather than jurisdictional, I don't think that the court needs to address that question.
Okay. Why don't you go on to the other issue?
Yeah, that was precisely where I intended to go at this point. The next prong, the second prong of this question, deals with the interpretation of four words found in Section C3, and that is the meaning of the words same act or incident. The court below found that even if an individual plaintiff could avail themselves of a remedy under Section C3, because the attack in which the plaintiff was shot five times by AK-47 fire occurred at the Vienna airport, and the prior existing 1605A7 case involved an attack at the Vienna airport, that they were not arising out of the same act or incident. I think that is, and I mean no disrespect to Judge Collier, I've had other cases with her below, and I think a great deal of her, but that's simply plain error. I think the court below misapprehends the nature of the cause of action. She was really focused on who pulls the trigger. This is not an action against the Abu Nidal organization, the actual perpetrators of the attack. This is an action against the Syrian Arab Republic for the material support of the Abu Nidal organization in the run-up to this attack.
You used the term single plot in your brief.
Yes.
That's an appealing idea, but how far does that go? I mean, what makes a plot one rather than two plots?
Are you asking this in the macro sense or in the micro sense with respect to this case?
I guess the macro sense.
Okay.
I can see your answer in the micro sense.
I think in the macro sense, the court's going to address this in future cases, and we'll have to address this in future cases on a nuanced basis based upon the fact pattern alleged in the complaint. You know, we see cases that would appear to be single events, if you would, or a single plot. Three good examples of them, the best known in this country, of course, is 9/11, which the court below discusses in its memorandum opinion.
And it's a single plot because what?
It's a single plot because the perpetrators of that plot organized that event into what the State Department refers to in its official report on this event as a their words are simultaneously attacked. It's an
simultaneity is
that could be an element. That is correct.
Perhaps a necessary element. You're reluctant to go that far.
I'm not sure it's necessary. And let me give you an example of where that might not be necessary. One of the things that I fear as a student of these kind of events is what I would describe as low casualty attacks in shopping malls. Now, suppose a terrorist organization, Al-Qaeda, for example, trained at a single facility and sent six individual terrorists to the United States to engage in bombings. And I'm talking about low casualty bombings in shopping centers 1 month apart for 6 months. The casualties in this country would be very low. The number of people who would be killed or injured in those kinds of attacks would be quite small, but the economic damages would be extraordinary. People
But are you suggesting that would be a single act or incident?
I'm sorry?
Would that be a single act or incident?
I'm saying if it was part of a coordinated plot where people sat down in advance and planned out that event as a series of coordinated bombings, yes, that would
be. Do we have to agree with you about this hypothetical for you to succeed here?
No, you do not. That's why I asked Judge Williams whether he was talking about the macro sense or the micro sense. In the micro sense, this case is much more straightforward.
Let me just ask you to what extent we have to think about scenarios like that. The follow-on action has to be commenced not later than the latter of 60 days after, and then we have entry of judgment in the original action, or the date of enactment of this act. Right. So everything that this covers has happened. Is that right? Oh, no, it's the latter.
So if someone filed a new, if there were another event that occurred tomorrow and someone brought an action
so
under 1605,
Go forward indefinitely.
It does go forward indefinitely. That is correct.
Okay.
And the reason Congress did that is it was the experience of people representing terror victims that many people were frightened, that people who had lost loved ones in terrorist attacks quite literally lived in fear and were afraid to proceed.
Look, if we're worried about the implications of your argument that the focus here is material support, not those who pull the trigger, if we're worried about the implications of that for the reasons Judge Williams' questions indicate, what's your argument?
If you focus on material support, the question becomes much narrower.
I was asking you to focus on the word incident. You make an argument in your brief about act or incident.
The act that we are complaining of here is the act of material support that Syria engaged in its facilities in the Bekaa Valley.
Okay, but you see, a problem with that is that then that brings us back to your hypothetical. You could, if the terrorist organization met, trained, coordinated attacks over a period of months, under your theory, that would be a single act or incident, right?
depending on the precise nature of the fact pattern, it could be. That is correct.
Well, I mean, let's accept your fact pattern of a clear sort of principle in terms of what kind of place gets attacked. Mm-hmm. But you seem to impose in your hypothetical no time limits at all, and I guess if you're thinking this has to do with the defendant's collection of evidence, it seems much, much stronger if you're talking about a simultaneous attacks than attacks which, in your hypothetical, can be spread over months or possibly years.
Well, I'm not suggesting it can be spread over years. I haven't gone through and thought that out, but certainly in this case, when you look at this question from the micro perspective, the material support for this attack was organized by the same people. They trained together in the same facility, and they were launched out again to engage in what the State Department describes as simultaneous attacks in two airports. That is, I would respectfully.
I'm just concerned about it. I mean, suppose you have sort of a terrorist shop in a, mm-hmm. in a country that does this on a systematic basis. Mm-hmm. You have different people being trained at different times for different missions, even though the missions may have some common thread. It seems to me, in terms of notice about evidence collection, it's getting pretty weak.
Well, again, this turns on a 12B6 motion. So it seems to me this analysis is governed by the allegations made in the complaint. And here, these plaintiffs are alleging that the terrorists in the Rome airport attack and the Vienna airport attack were trained together in a single set of facilities in the Bekaa Valley, maintained by the defendants, and sent to Europe for the express purpose of engaging in a simultaneous attack in two airports to achieve the political purpose of protesting, frankly, the then Egyptian government's, if you could describe it as benefit that it was receiving from having entered into the Camp David peace accords.
I was just trying to figure out, as all of us have been trying to do, where this line is drawn, because you seem to be focusing more on the plotting than on the act or incident. And that seems to take us off into a territory that would be difficult to cabin. This, in some ways, material support from Syria and Libya has been going on since the 70s. That can't possibly be the meaning of this act.
No, I agree with that. And if you're asking me for a bright line, I wish I could help you. I don't have a bright line. I do think
you don't know what the line is, but you know on which side this case falls.
That's easy. This particular fact pattern happens to be very easy because you had everybody in the same facility at the same time, training together, and sent out to conduct a coordinated attack. The difficult question becomes, when you draw that line in constructing this opinion, how open or closed is that review process going to be in the future? How much discretion do you give to a trial judge to examine the facts associated with the nature of the material support and the nature of the plot, if you would? I don't have an answer for that question. I do know that in spite of Judge Brown's comments, which are well taken, this really is about the nature of the material support, because the defendants here are material supporters. It is not about whether an attack in Rome and an attack in Vienna.
But the statute says act or incident. It's material support for an act or incident, isn't it?
It does say act or incident.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
I'm very focused on act.
It does say it. That's pretty significant. That limits the scope of this. So
it doesn't say act and. It says act or.
That's what I said. It's the same act or incident.
Or incident. And I'm very focused on the word act because the material... From my perspective, the material support that the Syrian government provided to the terrorists who murdered these U.S. nationals, some in Rome and one in Vienna who was shot and survived. He was not killed in the attack, received material support. The act that we are complaining of here in this complaint, the one that we fashioned, the act that we are complaining of is the material support. It's not the execution of the incident by the Abu Nidal terrorist organization.
Any other questions? No. Thank you.
I noticed it was on the red. May I reserve 2 minutes?
Yeah, you. Well, why don't you? We'll hear from Mr. Clark and figure that out later.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court. We're dealing with a terrible and tragic set of events that occur too often in our times, unfortunately. But we're dealing with a specific law that regulates the statute of limitations on the tragic criminal events that occurred in Vienna and Rome. And the use of the language act or incident was almost clearly intended to provide for people at the same location. In these circumstances, suppose you're a tour group and one member of the tour group has filed a timely action and another member hasn't and they're both killed. The Congress wanted to give one last chance for people under those circumstances to get compensation for tragic injury or death. With the idea that their use of, and that's why they use language like incident or act.
Well, that's a conclusion. What do you say? I'm having trouble,
Your Honor. I'm sorry. I just got back in the country late last night.
But what do you say to Mr. Pearl's argument that the training is an act that triggers the statute?
Certainly the training was distant in time, distant in place, couldn't possibly foresee future events years later.
From where the blows landed, yes.
And the Secretary of State took care of all that, you know. Her designation of Syria as a state sponsor of terrorism settled that problem. The question left for the courts is the actual act or incident that injured the person. The idea that because months later or before, or however long it had been, however long they trained together, it'd be like saying that Iwo Jima and being December the 7th and Normandy Beach are the same act or incident because they're part of the same war plan. We all trained together and we all went and did our duty.
Are you implicitly invoking the idea that for a tort, the actual infliction of damage is necessary?
Well, certainly the basis for the act is the injury that was received in one case in Rome and another case in Vienna. But the idea that because the perpetrators went to school together or had some criminal organization or some commitment to worldwide terrorism, that becomes the same act or incident is pretty far-fetched.
Suppose in your hypothetical of the tour bus, suppose there had been two buses in the same city, one on each side of the city, a simultaneously attack on two tour buses. Would that be a different, would that not be the same act or incident?
I think so. If you're talking about the same people coming in and shooting the two buses at the same time.
No, different people attacking each bus simultaneously.
Well, that'd be kind of strange, but if there are different people, it'd depend on whether
that's the way Al-Qaeda operates. But that's the way Al-Qaeda operates. They often pick two targets simultaneously.
If they were shooting at two buses, I assume they would have been planning together.
Right. But they were here, too.
Same place, same time.
Okay, so...
I don't have trouble with that. I think that could be part of the same actor incident.
Then suppose the attack here had been simultaneously on the Vienna airport and the Vienna railroad station. Would that be the same actor incident?
I didn't quite follow. If it had been only on the one airport?
No, suppose it had been on the airport, simultaneously attacks on the airport in Vienna and on the Vienna railroad station.
No, I think those would be separate. They're separate targets. You could say if a big fleet of bombers were going over toward Dresden or something like that, they were part of the same act or incident. But I don't think you'd use the word act or incident. And it seems to me that the appellants here, I say it seems to me, they clearly conceded that it may not be the same incident, but it's the same act. But it's not the same act or incident. It's 500 miles apart. It's by entirely different people. And what the Congress is really looking at is whether the unfairness, and they want to give us a small window of opportunity for others in the same situation to catch up with their fellow travelers, so to speak, people that they're with them. But the idea that there'd be some benefit in calling, and I don't know why you'd ever use the word same action, you'd say in the same operation or the same overall strategy of violence. Apparently, the reason it happened at the same time is it would, to the terrorists, it seemed like it would show their power if they can operate internationally, striking at the same time. All you got to do is set your watches and you go your way. But the idea that you could consider terrorists on the ground and to get into that airport, you had to study different things, you had to see how the it's not too easy to get in the airport. I've just been trying to get in the last few weeks and just got back. You got to get into the airport. You got to study where the police are and how they operate, and because you've got other people that'll be looking at you too. It's entirely different situation. I can't imagine that the Congress had in its mind that places it distant apart, even though they happened at the same time and pursuant to the same war strategy or terrorist strategy, would make it the same act or incident.
You don't embrace the district court's hypothetical of multiple attacks in different states in the United States at the same time as being one incident.
As far as the facts involving victims are concerned, they'd be entirely different.
Sure,
there'd be different people hitting at them. There'd be different defenses to prevent it. To call those the same act or incident would be more than a poor choice of words. It would be an inapplicable choice of words.
So in your view, 9/11 wouldn't have been, that the three events of 9/11 would not have been the same act or incident?
You know, I'll put you at ease, but this will probably be my last oral argument. It may be just because of my flight, too, but I'm having trouble hearing. I apologize, but I couldn't hear your question.
I just ask if I thought the district court's hypothetical was that 9/11 she would accept as the same incident, even though those events occurred in different states. They were geographically separated.
No, I don't think you could say they're the same. I mean, the plane going down to Pennsylvania and the Pentagon thing, I don't see how you could call them the same act or incident. they're far apart, they're different planes, they're different people, they're different probabilities. The probability that they would work, as the Pennsylvania one, didn't work.
Do you see?
It'd be a poor choice of words, at least. And the Congress had to have something in mind.
Speaking of what Congress had in mind, do you see a difference between the word act and the word incident? I mean, it used them both, and so they must have different meanings. And the plaintiffs suggest in their brief that incident is a broader word.
I think the word, to me, the word incident would apply to the general situation in either, in this case, the Vienna airport or the Rome airport. The act would be the shooting of a particular individual. The incident would be the overall thing that happened within 3 or 4 minutes, however long it took, in one place, but they're 500 miles apart, and call them the same incident is pretty far-fetched. I never saw an incident that big.
In terms of the purpose of a statute of limitations, does it make more sense to, does that make much sense? If the acts which entail Syrian government responsibility are all taking place at the same time in the same place with the same people, why does it make a difference that some of the attacks landed in Vienna and some in Rome?
I'm not sure I really heard the question, but I think the fact that the physical circumstances are so remote from each other, all the players are 500 miles apart, all that's they need to do, the earlier planning, which they really rely upon, the earlier training, took place months ago or years, whenever it was, in an entirely different place. Actor incident is talking about what happened at the airport in Vienna and what happened at the airport in Rome. And they're about as different as you can get. You can't be in two places at the same time. And these people, there's no relationship between how you have to plan to get in the airport and how you get the who's going to be in there. You're only looking for certain victims. You're not looking for anybody that happens to be in the airport. You got to be sure you got people from either Israel or the United States in there, according to what we understand the theory was, the plan was. So it's just an enormous stretch, and it's all incredible to think that the Congress intended that. What the Congress intended was that if it's the same act or incident, you're traveling together, you're in the same place, it was the same people that were shooting at you, that it's kind of a shame. You give the guy that didn't file the suit or the woman that didn't file the suit another short chance, if there's still a case pending or 30 days thereafter, for somebody who's there for the same purpose or the same general area in the same situation. But then to say, you know, one person on one side of the world, one's on the other, and it's the same incident or the same act, and they concede in their brief really that it's not the same act, but it's the same incident. But I think it's obviously neither the same act nor incident, because it required entirely different people, entirely different planning, entirely different victims, and the relationship of the victims to any central thing is only their citizenship.
I'd like to ask you a different question. The district court had a second basis for its ruling, that these were not the same plaintiffs, and you're not defending that in your brief, correct?
I don't think that's before this court in this case, no.
You're not defending that position, right?
Defending what?
I didn't read your brief. You said the only issue in the case is the one we've been talking about, the same act or incident.
Yes.
You're not defending the district court's single plaintiff ruling, are you?
I don't think that's before this court and needs to be considered, no. It seems to me to be a fairly simple issue, is whether you can have the same act and incident occurring halfway across Europe at the same time, and that Congress intended such result. Congress wanted to give people who hadn't filed a suit, and this is 22 years after the act, one last chance to get on board. But the idea that it would go you know, beyond people in the same location, somebody 500 miles away, and call it the same act or incident. They call it in the same campaign or the same operation or the same terrorist concept or plan. It's not the same act or incident by any stretch of any fair usage of the English language.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. Does counsel have any time left? No, you can take 1 minute if you'd like it.
Well, I have a question.
Or 2 minutes if Judge Williams has lots of questions. Or as much time as he wants.
Any reasonable answer can go on as long as it needs.
Right.
You've gotten me a little worried about the relationship between act or incident on the one hand and the underlying statute of limitations, which I take to be 1605A(b), which talks in the sort of normal way about the date on which the cause of action arose, so that, which I take it has got to be the moment of impact, right?
That is the way the statute of limitations has been traditionally read in these cases. That is correct.
I mean, I guess I'm a little worried about an interpretation of act or incident which has such a different focus. Even if we have simultaneous impact, it just seems a little odd to have, I mean, it's not an oddity that's preclusive of your interpretation, but it may raise a problem about your interpretation to have your focus on the planning activity at the state sponsor level, while the underlying statute of limitations look at something quite different.
Well, I don't have an answer for that question because I've come before the district court and perhaps this court in the past and talked about the statute of limitations as just the way you described it. And quite frankly, I hadn't thought about that question before coming here today.
Only a sort of linguistic difference, but presumably unless the planning is very close in time to the impact, you're not going to meet the single plot requirement. I'm taking your language, I'm taking incident and translating it into your language. So maybe it's just a theoretical problem, but we often get hung up over that.
Yeah, I think in this incident, as a question of fact, it's not a problem because we know that these people left this training facility to engage in this coordinated plot, if you would, and simply went and promptly executed coordinated events. I do think Mr. Clark is correct in what he said when he said this is about a demonstration of power to the international community. But I think in saying that, it really is testament to why this ought to be considered a single act. It was a coordinated plot, a single event, to demonstrate to the international community this particular terrorist organization and its material supporters' opposition to certain things that were happening in the peace process. It was a coordinated single event in which people were trained together, planned together, and launched out together to engage in two attacks to demonstrate the standing of the opposition to the peace process. You know, and I will finish because I see that my red light is on. These attacks are not random acts of violence. They are very carefully calculated political acts and need to be looked at from that focus. My time has long expired. I do apologize.
Thank you. No, thank you very much. The case is submitted.
Thank you.